So John is the fourth gospel in the New Testament. We're a little more than halfway through this book now as we continue to read and hear God's word preached. John chapter 15. Let's give our attention to God's word. It is our life. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. May God bless his word to us. Well, here in our passage, we have so many rich and wonderful truths that all center around this one thing, which is abiding in Christ. When we abide in something, we live in it. And he gives a very strong picture of that, of a vine and branches. Before we get to that, though, I want you to notice verse 16. This abiding and all of the commands that God calls us to do are grounded in this and other similar verses like this. Verse 16, it tells us what Jesus' plan is, what his will is. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." The calls to prayer just keep coming. We've seen these in the previous chapters, and they will continue to come. One of the things that we see throughout these teachings of Jesus here on the night in which he was betrayed is that he continues to remind us over and over again in all kinds of ways that we must depend on the Lord. And that is particularly through prayer. We must call on him. We must ask him. And he promises us that God will hear us. When we ask for things in accordance with Christ, when we ask things in his name and according to his will, God answers them. Praise be to God. God desires us to pray. He desires us to live in him. And he desires us to bear fruit. Lots of fruit, much fruit, fruit that abides. This is God's plan for us. He chose us out of the world so that this would happen, so that we would bear fruit. And this comes up in his picture of the fruit and the branch and the vine. What is that fruit? It is love. It is love for one another. It is love for Christ, love for his Father, love for the Spirit. Well, as we think of all of these things, we think of them in light of a week that has passed that has been very troubling in a lot of ways to us as a whole, maybe not to you individually. I haven't talked to all of you, but certainly it has been not without challenges. And let me remind you that this trouble that comes to us in the world, this trouble that we have is not a trouble that is from Christ. Remember, just last week, we heard Jesus' words about peace. Remember the beginning words in chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Notice also as he says in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." These are very poignant words when you're walking down the aisles at Walmart and can't buy toilet paper for yourself. I met someone in Walmart and said hi, I was a friend. And I said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling troubled, seeing what I'm seeing." And of course, I felt the same way, and I imagine that maybe some of you have too. I have found myself having to frequently remind myself over and over and over again of what Jesus says here. Praise be to God. Opportunities for application, right? "Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, I give you something else, something different." And indeed, I have found that peace, and I hope that you have too. What does it mean to find that peace in Christ? Well, partly that's explained to us here in chapter 15. There are troubles in the world. The Bible doesn't pretend them away. The world that we live in is a hard one. And even as one thing passes, another thing will come. It will never stop. The world will always be filled with trouble. Life under the sun will always be a chasing after the wind, a vanity of vanities. This is what the Bible teaches. The world we live is a hard one, and it's frequently very hard on Christians. Not that Christians haven't been themselves ones to make things difficult, but Jesus does say that the world will hate you. "They hated me, and the servant is not greater than the master." These are things that should not surprise us, Peter says. Do not be surprised when fiery trials come upon you. He's talking there about persecution in particular, but it applies in other ways as well. Christians should not be people that are caught off guard and shocked and amazed that there are difficulties in this world, that the world doesn't have a true peace to offer. Because our hope is not in the world. Our hope is in Christ, because he gives to us a peace that's different. So if you think the world can give you peace, I hope that by now you have been disabused of that idea. We live in a world that is very fragile, very fragile. How you can go from 1 week to being able to get basically whatever you want to not being able to get essential items for your household tells you how fragile things are. We have fragile healthcare systems, fragile supply chains, fragile communities, fragile leaders. This is human life. This is not something particular to our moment or our country. This is all over the world, at all times, in every place. But as Christians, what Jesus is saying here in chapter 15 is that we don't just live in the world. We have two homes, and one is much more important than the other. One is more stable than the other. One is more peaceful than the other. The first home is, of course, this old world. It's the life under the sun, S-U-N, that star, that big bright star in the sky. Life under the sun, as we learn in Scripture, is vanity of vanities. You work hard, you do everything you can, and then it's all gone. But we have a second home as Christians. And that home is in heaven. Remember what Jesus says. He says, I leave, and it's a good thing. He says to his disciples, it's a good thing I'm leaving now because I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. But this place in heaven is not only future for us, because we live in heaven, because we live not under the sun, S-U-N, but in the sun, S-O-N. We live in Christ. And so that's why Paul can say, set your minds on things above where Christ is, for you are seated in the heavenly places with him. Of course, we are here in our bodies here and now experiencing the troubles of this world. But in Christ, we have a real communion with him, real union with him, one that is primarily spiritual now, but will one day be complete and will be comprehensive and include all of this world, all that we see and experience. And in our passage today, Jesus focuses down and explains that peace that we have. It's because we abide in him. We live in him. Verse 5, for example. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? If you are not familiar with a vine, you could think of a tree. Like the vine is the trunk in a way, and the branches are these offshoots. If you cut a branch off of a tree or off of a vine, what happens to the branch? It dies, withers, it dies, eventually you get rid of it. But in the tree, in the vine, when it's connected, what happens? It bears fruit. It bears fruit. And this is the metaphor that Jesus uses to help us understand this kind of picture. And I will confess that in my life, I have found this picture abundantly helpful in so many ways. Consider, for example, the intimacy between the branch and the vine. They're separate enough that one is called one thing and one is called another. They are distinguishable. And yet they are so united that that branch will die. Its life, its It's everything comes from pulling the life, you might say, out of that vine, or receiving it, we could put it that way too. To be in Christ is to be so united to Him that we live literally in Him. Our life is in Him. And when branches live in a vine, they produce fruit. We actually happen to have, some of you have seen, been to our home, we have a grapevine, weirdly, in the middle of our house. Sorry for those who haven't seen it. But we have this grapevine, and it comes up, and it covers this area, and then when the fruit comes, it comes, and it hangs down, and it's heavy, and it's beautiful, and we go out, and we clip these grapes, and we enjoy them, and we're so thankful for the shade and the fruit. It's so alive when that happens. When you see the fruit is sort of weighing it down, you feel the life, you taste the life, you smell it. It's a blessing to the birds and animals and to us in our home. But the only way that that fruit comes, Jesus says, is by living in Him. We all love love. Right? We all love experiencing being loved. We love it when people sacrifice themselves for us, when we join together. But how does that happen in any kind of lasting way, in any kind of true way, in any kind of way that ultimately pleases God? Only through our union with God. There's no other way. Jesus is really explicit. He says, you can do nothing without me. When we live in Christ, He says, our life is fruitful. It's full of love and peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, all kinds of wonderful fruits. But it's a life that is always dependent. The branch on a grapevine never sort of walks off and says, all right, I've borne my fruit and now I'm good to go. What would happen? It would die. For the branch to live in the vine, it is always, completely, entirely, 100% dependent. Those who want to produce their own fruit in this world, their own love, their own righteousness, live their own ways, are ones that will be cut off. Jesus says this. They will be thrown into the fire. Well, how do you know which one you are? Because sometimes winter happens, and they all kind of look the same. How do you know? Well, sometimes it takes time and discernment. But you can ask yourself some simple questions. Do you depend on God? Do you depend on the sacrifice of Christ, this Master, this Lord, this God who gave His life for us? Do you depend on Him, or do you live in your own strength? Do you lack dependence? Do you lack love? Do you not produce fruit? Do you care about your own things instead of the things of God? These are the signs of a vine that is not connected with God. Of a branch that's not connected with the vine, right? What of the true branch? A true branch produces fruit. A true branch gains its life through dependence. A true branch lives because of its union with others. Those that do not live in Christ do not live and produce a life of love that is ultimately glorifying God. They do their own thing. And that's the basic work of the world. By God's grace, sometimes He holds back these things. He keeps things in check and doesn't allow our sin to come to its full fruitfulness, if I could put it that way. But let me ask you, and observe in your life, what happens when the checks that are usually in place and the things that are there are lifted just a little bit? people start hoarding things, price gouging. People seek to preserve their own lives above everything else, to make themselves wealthy above everything else. It becomes all about them. And are these people comfortable and at peace and safe? No. They and everyone else who follows in these ways are filled with anxiety and worry and fear. But not those who abide in Christ. Those who abide in Christ aren't anxious about anything we are commanded, but pray. With supplication and thanksgiving, making our requests made known to God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. It means to depend on Him, to gain our life from Him, to lean on Him, not only for the things of this world, but the things to come. And if you have any doubt about this, go back to the Word, because remember, Jesus says we abide by these words. Listen to verse 11. What is Jesus' desire and His will for us? He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Consider that. The joy of God in you. No wonder it's going to be full. No wonder it's going to be overflowing, or the peace of God, or the hope of God, or the love of God. And what is this joy and peace and hope? How do we know that it is love that He gives us, that it is love that we are drawing out from the vine? Well, it's because of what He says in verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." How do we know that God loved us? That God is working in us, that God is protecting us, keeping us, causing us to be at peace, helping us when we're not, forgiving us when we fall? Because greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And of course, I have in mind Jesus, who speaks these words, and who very soon, at this moment in history when we are reading, will lay down his life for his friends. In less than 24 hours after he said these words, Jesus was dead. He's telling them, "I love you. And I will take care of you, and I am sending you my Spirit, and everything that I've said is true. And I come from the Father, and the Father is glorifying Himself in me, and I in you, and you in me. Because in a little while He will die, and everyone will wonder, is what He said true?" Well, beloved, it is true. Because not only did He do all the things that He said He would do, including His own death, but He rose again from the dead. He ascended into the heavenly places, purposefully left us here, sent us the Spirit, and is taking care of us day by day by day, so that His people would be brought in, so that His kingdom would be established, so that God would be glorified. This is the work of a friend. This is the work of one who is at our side, who is working for us, striving for us, living for us. And so let us live in Him. It's hard to be a good friend, especially when the people you are trying to be friends with aren't very friendly. And let us remember that. That when Jesus says, "I chose you," He wasn't looking at me or you going, "Wow, He'd make a great friend. That Christopher, he's so dependable. And I can just count on him for everything. And he'll make me look so good. He has so much to offer me." I don't have anything to offer Jesus. You don't either. You know what it's like to try to be someone's friend, right, who's not a very good friend? They stand you up. They don't return your calls. You're trying to help them. They're kind of ungrateful. It's difficult work. We complain about it. We usually don't even try. But what did Jesus do for you? He gave his life for you. And that is why we can depend on him. And it's so important, beloved, because the going is not always easy. The world is full of troubles, and it always will be. The reason the world cannot give the kind of peace that we want is because it doesn't have the kind of life that we need. The reason we have peace in Christ is because we have life in Christ. We have his love. And so as you recognize around you and continue to recognize the fragility of our world, the fragility of our lives, as you come to realize this fact that everyone should know at every time, in good seasons and in bad, that our days are numbered, as you recognize these things as they are impressed upon you, you will be tempted to cling to this world, to cling to your life and your ways. But don't give in to that temptation. Live in Christ, and he will give you everything he needs. And perhaps from time to time, the Father will come and prune you a little bit, and it will be hard and uncomfortable and scary, and you'll wonder what's going on. But remember why he does it: to help you to be more fruitful, to bring his own glory to bear in the world, and to give us his joy, that our joy may be full. So let's turn to the Lord now in prayer and ask that he would bless these things to us, settle them in our hearts, that we might live in him and for him. Let's pray.